Now, for young people, finding housing in rural Ireland is a challenge. If you depend on a housing assistance payment, you will be hard-pressed to find an affordable rental. If you're hoping to buy, you may be competing with wealthier people looking for a second home. And if you're hoping to build your own home, escalating costs and planning delays can frustrate your dreams. I spoke to people on Inishmore in Nillaughn-Aran and in County Limerick, and we will hear that in a moment. But I want to come back to Margaret and Aisling. You obviously are dealing with rural issues every day, but do you have your own experiences of rural housing?
Well, I suppose in Kerry, like, I mean, I'm a townie. I'm not a rural dweller, but my other half and his family are farming, and you know, they would have had to go through the planning system themselves as well. But I suppose in a general sense, it is something that, you know, sons and daughters of landowners, you know, who want to build on land, it is getting trickier, I think, Hannah, because there is that balance there between, you know, so many one-off houses in the countryside versus, you know, the right to want to live where you want to live as
and
well.
Margaret,
you
know, the Offaly tip borders from which you hail.
Yes, you hear various stories down around there of one county being easier to get planning permission than the other county. Mm-hmm. And the demand is there. There's absolutely no doubt about it. And people maybe in rural Ireland have that expectation about, you know, being able to build on the farm, wherever it is. But if that's two or three children, that'll multiply then. The next generation, are we going to have two or three more on that? And it really is putting a strain, I think, in certain areas. Mm-hmm. Certainly, as Aisling said, the more tourist areas, you know, and the level of one-off housing that we have.
Yeah, and we'll be talking about that because we are also joined by Derek White, a planning consultant, and then from Cathair Sabhain in County Kerry by Brendan O'Keefe. But first, let's hear from Owen O'Brien, a young farmer building on a site on the family farm near Palaskenry in County Limerick, and Darren Malloy, the father of three young adults and involved in the community on Inishmore.
Paul to Hannah, good evening, Inishmore.
Good evening, Margaret. Thomas, how come kind flat between one-off housing?
It's actually nearly impossible to get permission on to build houses on the islands at the moment. At least five people have been trying to get planning permission on this island for the last 5 to 6 years, and none of them got planning permission.
And would they be long-standing families here on the island?
Most of them are families that have been on the island for not hundreds, but maybe a few thousand years.
And are you worried for your own family then? How many people are in your family?
Well, we have three children, but I'm afraid they won't stay on the island, because if they are looking to build houses, it'll be nearly impossible.
And I guess there's an added cost as well to building a house on the island.
You more or less add on another 50%. Say if you were building two houses here, one here and one on the mainland, you add on another 50% to build a house on the island, so it's very expensive.
Are there a lot of holiday homes on the island?
Well, it's happening more and more nowadays, because the house prices are so high. If a house comes up for sale on the island, it's bought by people from outside the island, so they are using them for holiday homes.
And we're here on the pier and we can see people going backwards and forwards. Can you point to where your house would be, kind of just roughly up above there?
My house would be up towards past the village of Kilronan, yeah. more or less north of the village in Kilronan.
Have housing prices gone up since, say, you built or bought a house here?
It's probably three times more expensive now than it was when we built the house on the island,
and
at least.
Is that partly due to the tourists coming and the impact of holiday homes?
Well, a lot of things, like COVID didn't help, because people want to get away from the cities and they start buying houses on the rural parts of Ireland and the islands. And next thing, the house prices start to go up a little bit. And I don't know what's going on at the moment, but the house prices are just gone through the roof. So that's not definitely helping the islands.
I'll let you get back to work, because I know you have a busy day ahead of you on the island, but gur mila malgat.
Thank you. One chance to build, so
come
on.
From the Aran Islands back to the mainland, people all over the country are finding it hard to buy or rent their own homes. As a young part-time beef farmer, Owen O'Brien told me.
Here on the left, we have, I suppose, a downstairs playroom, but could be a bedroom if you wanted it.
Owen is based just outside Palaskenry in County Limerick.
Sorry, your wife, yeah.
Yeah, my newly wife.
You were building this new house on your farm for you and your wife. You're only married in May, aren't you?
Yeah, that's all. Just recently married early May, so.
So, and lots of future plans ahead of you both.
Yeah, plenty of plans ahead, so.
And you have this house, and it's, I think, oh, do you say it's going to be four bedrooms?
About four bedrooms, yeah.
The whole process, though, of getting planning permission on your family farm, how did you find it?
Yeah, I suppose that side I found fairly difficult. I suppose it took me at least 18 months from start to finish. it was a struggle. I suppose I went through a time of COVID as well. It didn't help. I suppose the council might have been out of the office, but there's a lot of rules and regulations around it, but we finally got there in the end. I'm one of the lucky ones, I suppose.
Did the plans have to get changed a few times?
Yeah, the plans and the design would have to be changed and the location of the site would have to be changed, but look, I suppose we came out the right side of it anyway.
You're not building anything overly big, I'd say, or overly adventurous, you know. It's not like grand designs or anything like that. It's not anything fancy. It doesn't look like a spaceship. It looks like a house.
No. It's a very basic house, I suppose, and I kept it simple and kept the roof simple and tried to keep the cost down, I suppose, really, keep it a simple square house.
And do you have a job off-farm as well?
Yeah, I suppose I'm a carpenter by trade, so I'm working off farm as well because the farm isn't viable, it's by itself. So I'm lucky that way. I can do a lot of the work myself.
And if we look around, there's lots of tools around. So we should say that you're here on a Sunday morning, and I won't insult you, but there's obviously a bit of concrete dust on you there. So yeah, you've been busy at work on the house.
Yeah, I suppose we would. I love working really, and I'd work weekends, late evenings. There's plenty of nights I spent here with a head torch in my head. And no, I do. I enjoy it very much, yeah.
But I'm wondering as well, I mean, I can see a digger outside as well.
Yeah.
Have you been involved in nearly every area of this build?
I suppose I have, yeah. I dug the foundations, the driveway, laid the blocks and concrete, did the roof. I really did a lot of it. I suppose I had to give away the plumbing, electrical, plastering, but I did pretty much everything else, I suppose, so far.
And was that the original plan, that you were going to do as much as you're doing?
It wasn't, I suppose, yeah. I didn't plan on doing as much. I get some subcontractors to help me out, but I suppose the price of materials and labour has gone up an awful lot. It kind of forced me having to do more and taking longer to do it. But it's coming together. Yeah, I'm happy.
And was that partly because planning just took so long to get? Because we all know that, you know, pre-COVID, post-COVID, there was a substantial difference in trying to build a house.
Yeah, I suppose there's a massive difference. I suppose I have a lot of friends and family members that found it difficult as well to get planning permission. Some of them haven't been as lucky as I was, and they're still struggling to get planning, and they're moving different locations, and it's kind of forcing them to rent still.
So obviously you and Aoife are waiting to move in here. Are you renting, or what are you doing now at the minute?
Yeah, I suppose we were renting, but it was very expensive, so we decided kind of to do up a small little space we had across from the home house, and we're staying there now for the moment. So
you're trying to save every penny, aren't you?
Trying to save every penny, yeah, definitely, yeah, you would. You need every penny, really.
What's the average rent like around here, do you know?
Jesus, easily like a two-bed house. I don't know, you'd be talking up in $1,000, a month, so it would, yeah, it adds up. Your bill's on top of it, so it's not easy to save for a house, definitely not.
And when's the move-in date for you and Aoife, your wife?
I suppose hopefully before Christmas, if we can.
Is that your date or her date?
Well, it's her date. My date might be after Christmas, but we'll get in some point. And it'll just be a livable standard for now, and over the coming years we'll tip away and get the rest of it finished off.
Well, I wish you all happiness. I think you'll have a great time.
That's great. Thanks very much.
That's Owen O'Brien reflecting on some of the issues shared, I think, by a lot of young couples out there. And I'm joined now by Brendan O'Keefe from Cara Sabine in County Kerry and Derek White, a planning consultant from County Kildare. Derek, to you first. The nation is now holding its breath. What do you actually need to do to tick all the boxes to get planning permission?
It's quite easy sometimes to get planning if you can show that you have local need as opposed to local desire to build.
Okay, that seems like an important distinction to make, need versus desire.
It sure is. If you can show a planner that you need to live in an area, they're more likely to give you planning permission than if you just want, you desire to live in an area.
And how do you do that? Was there an example recently from On Board Planola?
Yes. Recent case was granted recently where an electrician who had equine development part-time, and he was trying to get planning permission on a site in Kildare. He attained his permission from Kildare and it was appealed to the board. The board upheld the decision mainly because he was able to show that he needed that equine development to live on the site. And the board really made a decision that because it was a substantial portion of his income, which was roughly around 40%, that he complied with local need policy. And that sets a good barrier going forward for anyone in the same kind of part-time farming, trying to build on a family farm.
Yeah, because I think to play devil's advocate as well, you know, we were talking generally in studio about, say, the price of getting a site, for example, in rural Ireland has gone up about around €50,000. I've seen a couple of them advertised for even higher. So are farmers lucky in a way, looking at it from another angle, that potentially they can gift a site to a child and that child doesn't have to pay for a site? I mean, is there that then that sense maybe of entitlement that they should be allowed to build a house in rural Ireland?
Yes, and I suppose I've worked for an awful lot of farming families over the years, and farmers do have a sense of entitlement that their children are allowed to build on the family farm. They generally pick the wrong house type, i.e. it's normally too big, and they normally pick the wrong site on the family farm. So that's something that needs to be addressed by anyone trying to apply for planning on a family farm. Get your site right. And get your house size correct as well. If you're living in a town in a 1,000-square-foot house, why are you building a 2,500-square-foot house in the countryside? And I suppose in the 1990s, it was much cheaper to build a house on a site than buy a house. Now that's not the case. It's quite expensive now to build on a greenfield site. So if you're building a house 2.5 times bigger than what you can buy in a town, it's not going to be affordable for you to do it.
But if you are a farmer, how do you demonstrate a need, or you are the child of a farmer maybe taking on a farm? What's the need box that you need to tick?
Okay, so you probably heard stories over the years where people would submit planning applications with a letter from the local parish priest and a membership of the GEA.
Aisling and Margaret are nodding there.
Those days are gone now. If you want to show a need, you have to show, you have to give very robust evidence as to why you need to live on this site. If your mother and father are elderly or they have medical issues, or you do milk the cows every morning, even though you might not be on the payroll, you have to show a planner exactly what you contribute to that farm, to that rural countryside.
But if there are three children in the family, you nearly have to pinpoint it to your successor to say that, and that comes with a whole lot of issues. I'm going to move on just to make sure we have enough time. Brendan, of course, we talked there about the desire for a house in the country, but I guess we do need to think about services too. So you're based in picturesque West Kerry, and you've seen competition over the years, obviously, for people who want maybe a second home, for those who are looking for a first home. How is that competition impacting those people looking for a first home?
Yeah, thank you. In terms of the services, I completely agree with you. We need to talk about the household, we need to talk about the community, and we need to talk about the wider society and the services that are there in terms of education, childcare, health, water quality, broadband. All of these factors need to be taken into account when looking at planning decisions. And we also, as you mentioned there, have competition, not just from those who desire second homes, but also from Airbnb, the holiday lets, and so on. So those are displacing those who have a need to live in the countryside. So that competition is unfair. And then in terms of the sale price, yes, and other contributors have mentioned there, the impact of the property inflation, the cost of building, the COVID effect. I'm looking at sale prices here from the Killarney area. In 2013, the median sale price there was just over 200,000. In April of 2022, it had gone up to 470,000. In my own area in Carrigsabine, over the same period, from 160,000 to over 500,000. So the factors that your contributors have been mentioning there are causing a property price inflation that is displacing local people, whether either they have a need or a desire to live in the countryside. So we do need to address the totality of those issues.
But is it interesting, though, that according to the last CSO report in 2022, the population of rural Ireland is continuing to grow, but it seems like the number of homeowners in rural Ireland is declining. Why do you think that is?
That is correct, actually. The figures are quite striking. So like in 2011, for example, 70% of people who lived in Ireland were homeowners, either with or without mortgages. By 2022, the more recent census, that had dropped down to 65.9%. So a drop of almost 4 percentage points in those 10 years. And we see drops right across rural Ireland. In the case of Longford, for example, down by 5 percentage points. In Carlow, down by 6 percentage points. In Donegal, by 4.7. So it's because of the myriad of factors that other contributors have mentioned there, the rising costs, the difficulties in getting planning is forcing more people into the private rental sector and therefore unable to afford to either take out a mortgage or to build a home like Owen has been able to do there in County Limerick. So yes, that is the trajectory that we're on, and it's adversely affecting young people. And you've already mentioned young people. I'm just looking here at some stats I have on what's called the changeover from renting to home ownership. And in 1991, the average age at which that changeover happened was 26 years of age. In 2011, it's gone up to 32. And more recently, 2022 now, it's 44 years of age. So if young people cannot get the right to own a home in rural Ireland, well, you don't have resilient communities. And that undermines the viability of services, of shops, all of the other factors we were talking about earlier on. So you don't have resilient communities until you address the supply of housing and the affordability of housing as well.
That's there. And I guess something that the government is trying to do, I guess, is address that supply issue. And last week, Derek, we talked about the vacant and derelict property grant. But is that a bit of a double-edged sword in terms of, does it actually help with costs, or would it still be cheaper to build on a greenfield site?
The evidence I'm seeing in front of me is that it's cheaper to build on a greenfield site. If you get a €50,000 grant, which is a substantial grant, that's only really going to build you a 25 square metre room onto a cottage, which is quite small. It's a big sitting room.
Yeah.
So it's just not enough.
I guess, well, thanks to Brendan O'Keefe there and to Derek White. And just to say that rural and one-off housing is, of course, in the minds of the government as well. And we understand that new guidelines for one-off housing are currently with the Attorney General before going to public consultation. But there is no timeline for that. So thank you both. And thanks to our guests in studio as well, to Aisling and to Margaret as well.